On this episode, the Argos make a statement in Ottawa. We have a good problem at DB and wide receiver. And the Port Rankings go surfing the interwebs. Crack those cold ones, it's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast or go directly to theargosfancast.podbean.com. I'm Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is the VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And Doug is working again tonight, so you won't hear him here, but you can find him at DougB519, or you can find his group, the Double Blue Order. Just search the Double Blue Order on any of your social media networks. And you can also get some great Argos merch, a DBO shirt, the Ticats Tears mug, and our very own McLeod Bethel Thompson Law Firm t-shirt at doubleblueorder.ca. Oh, that was a nice game for you guys to pick to go to.
It absolutely was.
I mean, it started out a little bit slow, but oh man, did it pick up from there. Argos came out of there with a 45-15 victory, and to be quite honest, I feel like that score flatters the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Yep, absolutely. The Argos actually could have had more than 60 points in this game.
Oh, easily. Going through the stats on offense, McLeod Bethel Thompson, who did get third star of the week, 21 for 29, 245 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Running the ball, A.J. Ouellet had 57 hard-earned yards on 10 carries. Chad Kelly had 3 carries for 50 yards. One of those went for 42, and then he dropped the ball.
He ruined the 50 burger.
Yeah. But he did score a touchdown and did quite the interesting dance. Brandon Banks, McLeod Bethel Thompson, and Daniel Adeboye all had one carry for a few yards there. Receiving, DeVaris Daniels, 5 catches, 100 yards. Markeith Ambles, 4 catches, 49. Curly Gittens, 3 catches, 41. A.J. Ouellet, 5 catches, 33. And Markeith Ambles, Curly Gittens, and Junior and A.J. Ouellet also scored the receiving touchdowns for the Argos. DeMonte Coxey had 3 catches for 17. And Daniel Adeboye had 1 catch for 5 yards. But that was just kind of a precursor to the big stats of this game. And those came on defense. 3 sacks, 5 interceptions, 2 of those scored. And then we also had Jack Kassar literally rip a ball out of a player's hands.
Yep, which I think was, I wouldn't say was the turning point of the game, because I still don't think the Argos lose, but it kind of was the end of any hope Ottawa may have had.
Yeah, that was the, we're not going to kill you yet, but we're going to put our foot on your throat kind of move. God damn. The defense scored 28 fantasy points.
And of course, I didn't take them.
We took them. But God damn. I mean, that's a great game for a quarterback, a receiver, let alone a great game for defense is 10 points.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Well, we have good, the bad, ugly, but honestly, really, the only ugly here was Ottawa. They threw five interceptions. They went through two quarterbacks. But they went up against our defense. So, I mean, how well can you expect them to play, Will?
Well, I mean, Nick Arbuckle had a good second half against the Argos 2 weeks ago. And it was going to be interesting how they were, responded. And, right away off the bat, a two went out. And, those Ottawa quarterbacks were under siege all night.
Yeah. Jagarrett Davis seemed like he found the fountain of youth with two sacks in there, too. Yeah, they did not have any time to throw the ball at all. So let's jump right into the good of this game. Well, what was one of your goods? Let's start with your litany of goods here.
Well, there was a litany. There are a litany of goods. Guy like again, Maurice Carnell with a huge game, two interceptions, one for a touchdown, and he keeps playing very, very well with Shaq Richardson out of the lineup.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. It's going to be interesting this week when you've got a few people healthy to see where some people are going to be lining up, who's going to be the odd man out. Maurice Carnell had just a monster game. Deshaun Amos looked really good with a pick in there. My top good is just Jack Kassar. Literally, you don't see that every year. Like, you see something like that maybe once every couple years, more so in like college and high school, but you don't see somebody just like go up and just rip a football out of somebody's hands.
No, it never hit the ground, did it?
No. I was blown away by that. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and as I said, Boris Beedy missed a field goal, and you're kicking to the best returner in the CFL, and I was like, oh no, what's going to happen now? And then, oh good, they've stopped him at the, 5, 10 yard line. And then, oh wait, he fumbled.
Yeah.
Obviously they score on that drive to make it 25-9. And that was, as I said, that was it.
Yeah, that may have not have been the nail in the coffin, but, we're definitely holding that lid shut. And there's some, heavy people sitting on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, how we were complaining the last game that the Argo offense is barely on the field in the fourth quarter. Same situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, in this instance, we kind of have to blame the defense because they didn't let them on the field. They did the scoring for them.
Yep.
So, I mean, it was a, you would have liked to see the offense do a little bit more in the fourth quarter, but the defense didn't let them flat out. Corey Missing, screw this. I'm going to win this. This is my game.
Yeah.
And I tweeted out after, Dinwiddie aside, Corey Mace is my coach of the year right now.
Wow. I mean, you can't. It's usually a head coach that wins that award.
I know that, but right now, like, I don't think there is a better prepared group in this whole league.
Well, he definitely has them playing at a high level right now. But we should also, you know, as much as the defense has been great, let's not forget, you know, the work the offense did in this game. McLeod Bethel Thompson was sharp. He did throw the one interception, which half on him, half on the receiver. But, you know, otherwise he had a touchdown pass dropped by Brandon Banks in the end zone. And the offensive line finally opened up some holes for
AJ Willett. And there was the one run that he took when he went to hurdle the guy a little bit early. I mean, he's been used to having these guys a lot closer to him. You know, yep. But yeah, I mean, he ran the ball 5 or 10 times for 57 yards, and he hurdled two people, and he hit a couple people, really hit a couple people pretty hard to get those 57 yards. And then Chad Kelly has a 50-yard or a 42-yard run.
And fumbles.
Yeah, well, you know, if we're talking about the running game, that's still a big, a pretty big deal there.
Yeah. Well, he just went around the corner and took off. I'm like, wow, really? And then, I just fumbled. I wanted the 50 points.
Yeah.
I don't think the Argos have scored 50 points in a game in a long time.
No, I think it has been a while.
It was a fun, and it was a fun trip. You know, like, you travel, I mean, it's, you know, you're traveling, you know, 4 hours, you're not flying across the country, but, you know, it's always good when you travel to an away game, and, you know, the team puts forth an effort like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you want to see out of your team every single week in and week out. Oh, man. It was a fantastic game to watch. It just made you happy.
Yep.
Unless you're a Red Blacks fan. But that's for other podcasts to answer.
Well, you know, the their fan base is like their morale is at zero.
Yeah.
It was quiet. You know, the stadium and now, you know, would try to prompt for noise sometimes and he'd get it, but like on Ushuaia, you know, Shanin said she left with 9 minutes left and she never.
Yeah, she never does that. Yeah.
No, yeah. And I get it. I mean, they were bad in 2019. They were bad in 2021. And, you know, they I don't know, like, and they're not going to fire Paula Police before the end of the year.
Nope.
And holy, what can you say?
Yeah, they're hurting there. Yeah, I think they banked on Jeremiah Mazzoli being their guy, and they just didn't have enough behind him to sustain, if he got any kind of injury, to sustain it.
Yeah.
And honestly, they're one of those teams where you have a bunch of pieces that work great together, but as soon as one of those pieces is removed, it just kind of weakens the whole core because they don't have a piece to put back in there as a stopgap. It just seems to have crumbled.
Well, and also consider this. Jamal Peters shut Jalen Acklin down.
Yeah.
And Acklin had burned the Argos the last few games.
Yeah, Jalen. And, they targeted Jalen Acklin 11 times in this game. And he only got 56 yards. Five catches out of 11 for 56 yards.
Yeah. It's... You know what? Ottawa did put up their passing yards, but at the end of the day, five interceptions and a good chunk, I say, of those yards came on
garbage time.
Yep.
Came in garbage time and they just they took what the Argos were allowing them to have. And that was it. They could not get any more than whatever the Argos would allow them to do.
Yeah.
It was a statement game by the Argos, and I'm glad they did it. You know, like you said, they could have put up 60, and that 45-15, we beat them by 30 points, but it feels like 15 is a little bit high for what the Red Blacks did in this game.
Yep. And with the win, the Argos have clinched a playoff spot and a home playoff game, despite what the league tried to confuse us with.
Yeah, well, we know the truth. Somebody out there with the Twitter handle Argo Fans seem to set them straight.
Well, no, and Mike Mitchell and Paul Woods actually contacted the league to get it clarified. So credit to them, but yeah, it doesn't look good if the league doesn't even know their own playoff scenarios.
Yeah. But yeah, we're in the playoffs. We're going to at least host the East semifinal. But if the Argos continue the way they're going, it better damn well be the East final that they're hosting.
At this point, yeah, it'll be a disappointment if it's not.
We're 8-5. Based on my predictions, they can go 6-1. Or sorry, 4-1 in their last five games.
I can see it.
Can definitely see it.
Yep. They got to work on getting over that hump they have in Molson Stadium right now, but it's doable.
Yeah, and we walk into Calgary this week. They're looking pretty good. Their defense is just as good as ours.
Yep.
But I think we're getting healthy at the right time, and just look at they're relatively healthy as well. But Okay, looking through our injury report, Robertson Daniel is back practicing in a limited capacity. We've got Benoit Marion back in participating fully in practice. Cam Phillips is back. Robert Priester is back. What else do we got? Shaq Richardson is back. Eric Rogers is back in a limited capacity. We've got all of a sudden, as you put it, a logjam at wide receiver and DB.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we can both agree that the two receivers that MBT trusts the most at this point are Davaris Daniels and Curley Gittens.
Oh, yeah.
Mind you, I think Markeith Ambles has gotten his fair share of touchdowns this year.
Markeith Ambles has been targeted a lot as well.
Yeah. What Ambles, I think, suffers from a little bit is he's getting all those little shorter routes.
Yep.
So, he doesn't quite. You know, his average takes a bit of a hit there. But those three, I think he trusts the most. And then sort of after that, I mean, Brandon Banks has been hit and miss this year.
Yeah, when he's on, he's bang on. When he's not on, he's just a guy out there.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, he may be the odd man out. I mean, Coxey has been flashed some potential. And Cam Phillips and MBT were gaining chemistry before the injury. So, you know, good time for these guys to get healthy. And on the DB side of things, I mean, this week we have to be a bit concerned because Jamal Peters is questionable because he
had a concussion. He hasn't practiced all week, so yeah. It's 2 days, but I don't expect him to be suiting up.
No.
And I think, he plays a position where he plays cornerback and you don't necessarily have a ton of guys that can slot into that right away, but, we've got Shaq Richardson who's all of a sudden healthy and, you get Deshaun Amos and Maurice Carnell, who are looking great. So, maybe one of them bumps out to fill a spot.
X played corner before, but that is a bit of an issue. Sort of figuring out who's going to play that boundary corner spot. We know McFadden's got the field corner spot.
Yeah, he's got that one locked down, and
which is the problem is finding a natural corner.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that we necessarily have that, but I think we've got some guys that are athletic enough to be able to fill in until Jamal Peters is healthy again. I'm just going to see if I can see if they even had anybody listed as a backup for those.
Well, I think Tiggy Sanko would be, but I don't really know if you want to have him.
Yeah, I think he got into the game when Jamal Peters went down.
Yeah. What's worse about that too is he got hurt when the game was out of reach.
Yeah,
and my gut tells me like for some reason I'm thinking it was on a special teams play too.
You know what? When you guys mentioned, I didn't even realize that Jamal Peters was out. So
yeah, because he would have left the field right, and you know, we were right behind the Argo bench, so we saw him, you know, leave the field with the trainers to the tunnel, which is just to the right, left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Robertson Daniel, what started the year in place of Jamal Peters. So we've got that. Just trying to see if I can see any other weeks where we had somebody other than Jamal Peters over on that side.
I don't think so.
No, and last game we didn't even have anybody listed as a backup for either Peters or McFadden. And Shaq Richardson plays much better on the inside. But I know he has played out there at times. So, and yeah, I don't think Eric Sutton is
more of a safety guy.
Yeah, Eric Sutton is, yeah, but he's still out with the hip. So I don't see him slotting into that spot either. Yeah, it's difficult to see because he's been McFadden and Peters have had those positions on lock all year.
Right.
So, you know, Tiggy Sanko may move over there, but we'll see what they do with Maurice Carnell and Deshaun Amos. See if one of those guys bumps out. Because I would see that probably more over Tiggy Sanko starting at the boundary corner there. Oh, we've got some more stuff to talk about. You know, we've got the I don't even know where we else we go from here. We've going down your rung. Well, the other one we got to talk about is. We've now got Ryan Hunter, who's in the mix. Based on a couple people's opinion, much smarter than me, they believe he's still, you know, probably looking at making his debut in the home game against BC. But he's been a full participant in practice this week, so it all depends on how quickly he picks things up.
Yeah. Potential to be a big signing. Canadian played, you know, tackle potentially. And, you know, we've been asking for O-line help. They've gotten some O-line help.
Mm-hmm. So, we're looking forward to seeing what Ryan Hunter can bring to this team, and hopefully he can get in there and we not miss a beat. The other thing that I want to talk about from this week is McLeod Bethel Thompson is now the league leader in passing yards.
Yes, he is.
He's about 94 yards ahead of Zach Caleros, and Zach Caleros has got two games on him, so looking good. But yeah, Nathan Rourke is still sitting there in third, only a few hundred yards behind them.
Yep.
It just goes to show you the start that kid had, man.
That was a record-setting pace.
Oh, yeah. But McLeod Bethel Thompson, your league's leading receiver. And we're starting to actually see the fan base start to like McLeod Bethel Thompson.
Yep.
I guess. Winning helps, I guess.
Yeah.
The one thing I did notice, too, that McLeod Bethel Thompson did this week is a friend of his took a screenshot of the passing leaders in the CFL and threw a shout out on his Instagram story to McLeod Bethel Thompson about being the number one passer in the league. And McLeod Bethel Thompson's response to him: "Shh, don't tell anybody. Everybody up here thinks I suck. We want to keep it that way. Love you, big dog." So he knows. I mean, we know he's a smart guy, and he's going to pick up on that. But yeah, I think he thrives a little bit on being the underdog a little bit. So that was kind of a nice thing to see that, you know, he knows what's going on. Oh, and then, yeah, on Saturday, we're in Calgary to take on the Stampeders. It's going to be a big test for us.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you know, people are you know, people are right. This four-game winning streak has been against Hamilton and Ottawa. And, you know, while you have to play the players, you know, sorry, while you have to play the teams that are on your schedule, they need to, you know, they beat Saskatchewan twice. You know, lost close games to Winnipeg and Calgary and got blown out by BC. They need to get a win against one of the, well, I mean, they don't have an opportunity again. Well, they do have an opportunity against BC next weekend, but they need to get a win over one of those teams to give them a bit of legitimacy.
Yeah. And Calgary comes in with the second best record in the league, second in the West behind Winnipeg.
No, are they BC still ahead?
I thought that.
Nope, BC's ahead of them.
Oh, my bad.
BC has the tiebreaker.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, BC's, yeah. Calgary's at 9-5, BC's at 9-4. BC holds the tiebreaker right now. But they're coming into this game with a great defense. Almost as good as ours, I would think. But, I mean, when we're going to this game, you know, what the one thing I think you need to really key on is keeping Kadeem Carey in check.
Yep, and I think he was... He showed up on their injury report.
Yeah, but he was, I believe,
a full participant this week.
Yeah, yeah, he's been in and out. He didn't practice on Tuesday, but he was, it was an illness, so a little bit of the flu, I'm guessing. But yeah, he was full participant on Wednesday, but he's the key in their offense. Like, you know, they're. Receiving core isn't what it used to be. We stole all the receivers. That offense runs through Kadeem Carey. You know, whether it's, you know, getting him established running the ball or throwing him out of the backfield, he is their number one guy. So that's the guy you got to shut down. And if you can keep him in check, I think you can really tighten your grip on the at least on the Calgary offense.
Yeah.
On the offense side of the ball for us, this sounds weird coming from where he was. We have to find a way to stop Sean Lemon.
Yes. It's happening.
At 34, at 34, he's having the best year of his career.
Yeah.
And a guy that we all thought was done. And somehow Calgary has resurrected him.
Yep.
So, and you know, keys the GameStop, keep Kadeem Carey in check, and keep McLeod Bethel Thompson upright. Which is easier said than done, but.
Well, I mean.
I think there's ways they can go about it, and if they're, you know, still having protection issues. But you know, if you're going that road, then you got to get the ball out of his hands quicker.
Yeah.
And they can do that. We've seen it. Is there anything you're keying on in this game, Will?
It's just the Argos need to prove it. You know, eliminate the last of the doubters that might be out there.
Prove that they belong in the upper echelon of the CFL.
Yep. Because right now the narrative still is, oh, they're just beating up on a weak Eastern Division, which on a unreasonable claim.
No, but at the same time, we should be beating up on this Eastern Division.
Yep. We should be. But there's still a narrative the Argos need to put to bed.
And I have a feeling that narrative is not going to go away regardless. The only way that narrative is going to be shut up is if we destroy Calgary.
We did win in McMahon last year, but
I don't think we're going to destroy Calgary. They're too good of a team for that.
Exactly.
But I have no qualms in saying I expect them to beat Calgary.
Won't say I expect, but I'll say, based on what I've seen the last 4 weeks, be disappointing if they don't put up a great effort.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of great efforts, the Argos did something this past Monday that they haven't been able to do since 2019. Before the pandemic, every year they have, I don't know what you could, they have a day where they get a whole bunch of the team together and they go to the Holland Bloorview Kids Rehabilitation Hospital in the Bayview and Eglinton area. And they have a day where, you know, they interact and play with the kids and do, you know, all kinds of, you know, fun games and drills and just bring some big smiles to those kids' faces. And for the first time since the start of the pandemic, Holland Bloorview was able to open their doors to the Argos. And I mean, the Argos were the first group to come in since the start of the pandemic to be able to, you know, help bring a smile to these kids' faces.
Yep. And, you know, oh, no. The great, you know, they do great work in the community still. And, you know, even today as well, McLeod Bethel Thompson and Sean Oakman were at
the food bank,
I believe, helping with that. So, Daily Bread Food Bank.
Yeah. You know, the Argos have... And they're not alone in this league. You know, every team does almost everything they can in their own community for, you know, anything they can. You know, they always, this league is full of men and women who are not only at the top of their professions, but they also want to give back, and they do such great work in the community. You know, the event at Hall and Blue Review is an annual thing that the Argos do with them. This year they brought 20 players out, and you know, our friends over the Exodus and Argos talked about you know, their work with Hall and Blue Review. And then all of a sudden today we see them at the Daily Bread Food Bank, and, you know, they're always doing something. And I think if the average person knew how many times a player or players from the Argos or representatives from the Argos or any other team in this league knew how many times they're going out and doing things like this, it would blow their mind.
Yep.
Because, you know, the majority of this stuff that they do, there's no press on it at all.
Right. And it's one of those things, like, when you do work like that in the community, like, it's supposed to be a selfless thing in the sense that you don't necessarily, like... You understand what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah. It's you know, it's supposed to be a selfless act. You don't necessarily want to have the press and stuff like that. But I think the, you know, some of these things that they do put press on, or, you know, you know Mike Hogan interviewed some people and stuff like that. It kind of, you know, you want to walk that very fine line where you want to shine a light on the good things that they do just enough to kind of inspire people to, you know, not only, you know, give to those organizations or help out those organizations, but to, you know, at the same time, you're kind of selling, you know, your team and who they are as people.
Yeah.
So you want to walk that fine line between, you know, hey, this is a good cause. You should donate. You should help out as well in any way you can. But also, hey, we're doing a good thing, you know. Keep our name, you know, keep your name out there. It's you're going to associate something like that with good.
It's just they go above and beyond in the community and don't get rewarded for it sometimes.
No. But then, when, like, if you've read Mike Hogan's article, he talked to McLeod Bethel Thompson about it, and I mean, he got emotional when he was talking about it. You know, he was there in 2019, and he said, you know, it's an inspirational day.
He said it was different now that he's a father.
Yeah. And he said they say they bring us here to inspire the kids, but they inspire me. And when you talk to any players that do any of this stuff, that's almost always the case they come out of there at, you know. You know, they always seem to be just a little bit more inspired when you know, coming out of that stuff.
Motivates them?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's as much as good as it does for these kids, it also does good for the players too. And whether or not that motivation is sparks, you know, motivation on the field or motivation, you know, somewhere else in their life, it's still one of those things that is as much as they give, they get back as well. And I need to give props to Ethan DeCuna. I hope that's how you say his last name. He's a 7-year-old at Holland Bloorview. Thank you. He's an inpatient there. He's been an inpatient since September. He beat Argo Center Justin Lawrence in a wheelchair race.
Well, he probably knows how to use the wheelchair. Well, no, it's one of those things, like, person who doesn't use a wheelchair normally gets into a wheelchair. I'm sure it's not easy.
No, but, you know, he still won.
Yep.
And from all accounts, it wasn't necessarily one of those things where he fully let him win, right? So, just a great thing. The Argos do so much stuff in the community, and this was one of those things where they get to show it off a little bit, and we had to talk about it.
Yep.
Oh, well, let's move on to, I guess it's time for the weekly fantasy and, yes. Picks. You're back to groaning about it. We had a good run where you didn't groan about it. But this week we've got, a few games to work from, not just the 3 games. So get a little bit more options out there.
Mm. Don't trust Vernon Adams as far as you can throw him.
No.
In fact, I don't trust anybody. The highest dollared quarterback this week who's healthy is Taylor Cornelius.
Yeah.
Who I don't necessarily. I mean, do you think Zach shreds the Riders again, or
he could? I'm wondering if Trevor Harris might. Okay, I think we're going to leave our quarterback slot open because I think it's really all going to depend on who else we get in there. Running back. Okay, 3 of the top 4 costly running backs are injured. Jeez, I don't even trust many of these running backs anymore.
Kevin Brown. He's cheap enough to.
Yep. Okay, we'll put him in there. Wide receiver, we usually pick an Argo here.
Curly, it's safe.
Yep. And that Argo's destruction vaulted them up into they're the second costliest defense. This
they are.
Yeah. But they're also playing Calgary. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Don't trust that.
I don't know. Like, I don't. See, I know the Argos defense is probably be good enough not to, you know, put up an absolutely dreadful fantasy number, but I don't know that the Stampeders aren't strong enough to keep that number relatively neutral.
Yeah. Because remember, it does no good for them to...
Now you hold them
only allow 15 points if they're, you know, they're not generating...
Not generating turnovers, not generating actual points.
Yeah.
So, right now I'm looking at Winnipeg's D.
BC. They've got Ottawa at BC place, and...
Oh, yeah, that could be...
The Red Blacks are a bloody mess.
Yep. Okay, well, that's... Yeah. So we got four spots open with $23,000 left. Yeah. Okay. Right now, I'm going to throw in Trevor Harris right now at quarterback, and we'll leave it at that. We've got Trevor Harris, Kevin Brown, Curly Gittens Jr., BC Lions, and we're playing our buddy from the Turf District this week.
Buddy, well, both of them, Mike and.
Yeah, Mike's Andrew. Got his own. Mike's his own entity in this.
No, he is. But my understanding is that they
picked. Oh, okay.
They both contribute to that.
Ah, well, we're playing the Turf District. Last week they were the top team in our league, so I'm glad that they got that out of the way. Yeah, and I think this is the last week of our regular season, however you want to call it. So we're on the outside looking in, so let's just play some spoilers here.
Yeah.
As far as picks go this week, we've got two doubleheaders going on. We start off Saskatchewan and Winnipeg.
Yes.
And Saskatchewan is...
not going to win.
Oh. I don't know. I want to pick Saskatchewan here because Winnipeg has kind of looked a little bit wonky, but Saskatchewan's looked
even more wonky. They had one game where they looked wonky.
Yeah, and they didn't play last week.
In fact, that's why I felt like lost to Hamilton. I would not want to be Saskatchewan this week.
No. And Saskatchewan isn't. I mean, we talked about this last week. Their coach came out and said that they are not a good team, and then players are calling him out in the comments and social media. Like it's no, okay, yeah. Smart money's on Winnipeg. So Doug is going to flip a coin. We're going to use the Canadian quarter, and the Queen Elizabeth is heads for the away team, and is the caribou on there?
Moose?
No, it's not a maybe. I have no idea.
Animal.
An antlered animal on the God. We're gonna get shit on for our knowledge of Canadian stuff, and we're Canadian. Okay, yeah. And then the antlered animal is the home side. And Doug is picking the Rough Riders.
Ooh.
Who he should have submitted his picks to us. He got mad at us last time we did this, but. He didn't submit his pick, so. Then we've got Ottawa in BC. Let's see what the coin says for Doug. And God, I hope you get an antlered animal here. Nope. He's picking Ottawa.
Hey.
God, these coins are not your friend. And we used a Canadian coin this time. Okay, I'm picking BC.
Why?
Because Ottawa is a giant mess. Ottawa is a giant mess. I'm assuming you're picking BC as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're onto the Saturday doubleheader. Montreal in Edmonton.
Yep. This is my last chance to hope that Edmonton wins a home game before I go.
So, by nature that you're picking Montreal.
Yes.
By nature that you're picking Edmonton.
Edmonton, yes. Thank you.
For your sake, I'm also picking picking Edmonton. And Doug, we're switching to the nickel here. So the Beaver would be the home side. So let's see where we get. Once again, Doug is picking the away team. I mean, in this one, that seems like, all right. And, the Argos are in Calgary. We're all picking the Argos.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with this for Doug's pick. We're going to pick blowout or close game. So blowout being heads, close game being tails. Okay, Doug is picking a close game. I also think it's going to be a close game. Will?
Yeah.
One of these years, we should actually keep track of our stats when we do this.
We don't.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
And we will start this week with the pork rankings.
Pork rankings.
And our friend Todd Footsball has just discovered that we've using the pork rankings every week on our show. So this week he took a little bit of a different approach to it. He did that a while ago. He did it again this time, and he's calling it the Crazy Internet Shite Edition. So things. Weird things on the internet he found that are related to pork.
Mm.
So we will start with the Bombers. As they're the top of the league, you're obviously going to have something to do with bacon. They are the Bacon Weave Taco Shell. This genius deserves a Nobel Prize for inventing this masterpiece. How is it possible that this hasn't swept across North America? Get me a dozen and lay me to rest.
Yeah.
I could go for that.
I could. In moderation. The Argos are the McDonald's pork nuggets. Apparently, at some point, McDonald's in China has offered up pork in McNugget form. How is this not everywhere? Now I need to plan myself a trip to China just to try them.
You know what?
Yeah.
You may not necessarily need to go to China. There is a McDonald's in Chicago that is an international McDonald's. So they have a whole bunch of menu items from all the McDonald's all over the world. I don't know if pork McNuggets are there. But it would probably be a little bit easier to go to Chicago than to China.
Yeah, you don't want to go to China just for McDonald's.
No. The stamps are a bacon alarm. Someone somewhere said out loud they would love waking up to the smell of bacon. And a crazy fool with an earshot said, I can make that happen. And built a phone attachment that squirts out the scent of bacon on the alarm.
Isn't that a fire hazard?
No, it's kind of like I would assume it's more like a vape type of thing. You're not actually, it's not actually that little alarm clock that cooks you bacon and a breakfast sandwich and egg, you know, all that stuff, as well as, it's not one of those. It's just a little thing that emits a scent. So, you know, like the things you plug into your wall, too. The Lions, they are a
legged shape pillow.
Here you took the term comfort food a bit too far. Don't get me wrong, I would totally buy one of these. I just know I'd have the bestest dreams and wake up gnawing on it. I'm not a fan of waking up to a wet pillow.
He does have a greasy cheek.
Alouettes are porkahol. Pork-infused alcohol.
Yeah.
This specific one that he found is bourbon, glorious bourbon. The bottle has a fleur-de-lis in the middle and a piggy on the bottom, and only fits in one spot on this list.
I get it. Go back.
Yep. The Thai Cats are bacon soap.
Whatever that is.
It really doesn't matter how much you wash with this. You will not turn yourself into bacon. You'll just have a day-long sad reminder that bacon is out there and it's not you. And keep in mind, these are all things that he's actually found on the internet. So these are all legitimate things that you can buy. The Elks have moved up a little bit, and they are meat seltzer. I, like most of you, enjoy a cool, refreshing beverage on a hot summer day. But never in the history of ever have I thought to myself, man, I wish I could drink something that tasted like pork. I agree. The Riders are old Dutch bacon puffs. And bacon is B-A-C and then the apostrophe N for and. So he says, notice how they don't even use the word bacon. That's because there is none. Sure, you may love them, but it's a very long ways from what you really, really want it to be.
It's essence of bacon.
And God, does that not... Yeah, right. And that really encapsulates the Riders right now. The Red Blacks are chocolate chip spam cookies. What the hell? Who made those? This aberration can only be the invention of the most devious of minds. Forget the people you think are crazy. This person literally baked a slice of spam into cookies.
Was it intercepted?
Why? Why would you do that? Oh, not even your own receivers want to catch your passes. All right. I think we need to go to Kazakhstan to cleanse ourselves of that.
Kazakhstan.
And our friend Anton. I think the best one so far from Anton this week is he quoted a tweet from Philip Nicholson. At least that's what his Twitter handle says. Sadly, might as well cheer for the Argos going into the playoffs as my Ticats suck this year. Sad face. Anton quoted this and said, I met the smartest person in Hamilton. Very smart. Like my smart cousin who didn't hook up with idle woman. Does not burn when urinating. I mean, a Ticat fan deciding to cheer for the Argonauts, that's pretty smart, I guess.
But wrong.
Always wrong, yeah. And then the other one that I like from Anton is when there is a Gary Stern parody account. And he says, I hear the Argos fans all want an Alouette win. Knockout Ticats once and for all. And then he tagged X's and Argos, Paul Woods, the fan cast, Argo Fluffy, the Double Blue Order, and a couple other guys. And prove you're real Argos fans and buy Alouettes tickets and come to the game and cheer. Help me, Alouettes win. And Anton's response, true fans of Argo want the strange French bird to poop in the eye of a mythical hybrid of a tiger and a cat. Yeah, it made sense to me.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, I don't have much else.
No?
No. I think that's about it. I mean, we've gone on long enough. I think it's time that we put this episode of the Argos fan cast to rest. Will, where can they find you?
On Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And you can find the Not Here Doug at DougB519 on Twitter, or you can find his group, The Double Blue Order, anywhere on the vast social media empire. Just search The Double Blue Order. You'll find them. And you can also get some great merch, including Ticats Tears mugs and the Law Firm t-shirt, McLeod Bethel Thompson, Law Firm at doubleblueorder.ca. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. And you can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast, or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast. Or go directly to the argosfancast.podbean.com. That does it for the Fancast this week. Talk to you again next week when we're talking about the fifth Argos win in a row. It's going to be glorious.